You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Today we're suffering in our basement studio with a little bit of a head cold. So if you hear any of that, just know that we're human. We are not robots.
Nor AI.
Not today. Not AI. We don't have AI spokespeople for us.
With virus.
Unless, yeah. Because it's a computer virus, actually. That's what's going on. Yeah. And our software is messed up. Today we're talking about, speaking about what we're talking about, this is kind of interesting. We're talking about resilience. How about that?
Mm-hmm. We're resilient with our cough.
Yeah, our cough is really resilient. It's not going away. And we're going to talk about resilience, development, and growth in relationship to the human being, right? Uh-huh. So we're going to talk about the five dimensions of what it is to be human. So what are the five dimensions? And we'll get into that because we used to have four, but today we decided to go with five dimensions, an extra dimension.
Yeah.
Is that forward and backward in time?
It's bigger.
Bigger. How brain patterns are programmed. Self-resilience, personal growth, and the three-legged balance.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go. We're gonna just get right into it. We, in our books and in our writings and in our shows in the past, have always talked about spiritual, emotional,
mental,
and physical. Aspects
mm-hmm.
of relationships, of systems, right? So we do systems theory and we talk mm-hmm. about that, those four systems that humans have, businesses have, humans have. However, after doing more reading and more research, something came up today and we said, let's add one more in. Let's add social. So let's look at spiritual, emotional, mental, physical and social aspects mm-hmm. of the human being, the five dimensions. And they're very important because society and the social aspects of who we are, I think, with the internet, with Facebook, Instagram, all these other things that people are constantly interacting with the social structure, with their friends, with society.
Mm-hmm.
impacts people as great as anything else these days because it is another check on how they act. And we're going to talk about the dangers of that as well because we see some positive aspects to it, but we also can see the dark side.
Yeah.
I believe, right? So let's continue on. So that was the theme. Here we go again. The five dimensions of being human, spiritual, emotional, physical, mental, and social. Getting right into the spiritual dimension, we're talking about what connects us to something greater. Our beliefs, our belief system, our purpose, our mission.
Mm-hmm.
That something that's innate, inborn in us, and what we believe from our connection to a higher power.
Why we are here.
Why
this
we are
a
here.
Big question.
So in 90 Day Soulmate, we talk about soulmates,
mm-hmm.
belief that there is a soul and that there's a connection at a soul level with another person.
Yeah, and also sometimes people say, why am I here? Maybe say, for what?
For what? For what am I here?
Yeah.
Not why, but for what?
For what? For what is the...
So why seems like a past thing, right? Why am I here mm-hmm. is how I got here.
Yeah.
But what am I here for to do in the future,
mm-hmm.
to do right now? That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Why versus what? The reason we bring up spiritual, the higher power, mission, how we're connected to others through something that we just don't know and don't understand, the reason for that is that really was a guiding force spiritually for humanity for many years, right? This connection, this quiet time that you spent reflecting on who you were and how you were to be part of society and how you were connected. And I was connected to you through some great mystery of the universe. And I was connected to all other people through this mystery of the universe.
And this is the historical human being searching about.
Search.
Who
am I? Why am I here?
So what if the planet exists?
Now we're talking about what can we do because we're here? What should we be doing? Not human wise, but human beings, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are we here to do? The emotional dimension is or are the feelings, mood management, emotional intelligence, the things that make us happy, make us sad, that we interact with emotions all the time. And those emotions are also something that have been developed over time.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about the development of all these things. I just saw something on, what was that, on Instagram. I think I forwarded to you. It was a woman psychologist talking about that by the time we're 35 years old, the patterns, the behaviors, what we do, what we decide to do, have been programmed from birth in one, you know, how we were actually born, what's our personality at birth, but what our family taught us, what our friends taught us, what our culture taught us, what our school taught us, that all those thoughts are in us. And her comment was 85% of who we are as a being is already in there, that there's not much we can do because we've been programmed to be who we are right now. And it's almost like, how do you say that? We're victims, in a way.
Yeah, in the way I listen to other person, and I prefer believe that that he say that when he grew up, the teacher say, no, the first 7 or 10 years when you are a child, that is how you said, oh, you cannot change.
You can't change.
And then he have a many problem for bad speech, so he now is a speaker. He has problem for sport, that's amazing. So, and he do it after 30 years old. So that's his.
So he was able to change after 30?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, there's hope for all of us.
Yes, yes. So that is the point that sometimes one theory fighting with other.
Well, there is. And there's the theory of that. And not only that, but the rest of the story was, she said 85% is already in us. It's like built in and there's nothing we can do about it. And then she said, and that leaves 5% where we have freedom of choice. I'm like, wait a minute, that doesn't add up to 100%.
Yeah.
So that's what's wrong with psychologists. She has a problem. And she has that problem with math since she was a little kid. So it's 85% chance that she has a problem with math from whatever. Okay. The point being is that we can choose to believe that 85% of whom we are that we already are is immalleable.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can continue learning, growing, changing our direction. Yeah. And we like to believe that we can do that. We can learn a new sport, learn a new language, maybe.
Yeah. Anything. And also, I admire one old lady that we met in the karate. So she's teaching retired.
Mm-hmm.
She have, at this age, I guess, 65.
Okay.
And she applied for being the karate in the school that my brother have. And she become black belt. And when I talked with her when almost 3-4 years
right,
later.
Right.
And she say, I say, what do you do now? Now they achieve that. Now she give me a business card because she developed my website.
So
and
another
she's
thing.
In software. So I have to learn about do what size. So I take a trainer. And at this point, she's almost 68.
And she bought her first computer. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Almost. I mean.
Almost. So she's, I told you, 70 years old. And something that no grew up with technology.
Right.
At this point, she start to develop a website. And I had the business card. And I see the work that she's doing.
Yep.
It's not perfect, but she's doing. You know, so it's good.
It's good. Now, something you brought up before, and it's not really in our presentation, so I do want to bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about, and actually it's later on, I said, have psychologists done more harm than good?
Mm-hmm.
That by studying the human psyche and studying all the dimensions of what it is to be human and looking at all the love languages. And we talked about this, is that maybe I need to be held, or maybe I need to be told I'm good, or well, the point was that you made is that, say, 30, 40, 50 years ago, people were busier with work. There wasn't the distraction of the internet. Mm-hmm. They didn't have all this information on how they should have been brought up. They might have been thought, I was loved very much by my parents. But now today, you read an article and it says, well, if your parents don't talk to you a half an hour a day, they don't love you. If they're not physically connected with you 2 hours a week doing exercise, they don't love you. And they come up with all these things on how their parents don't love them, or how they're not being treated fairly by their partner. And maybe
you discover that you have a trauma because
bad
parents.
So we know more, but what we know more about is maybe the best way of doing something that we all fall short of, so now we're more disappointed.
Yeah, you know? The point in this is also recognize the our parents have less information, we have media, and the child have more, so it's some kind of the chain that you can need to understand, be adult, see the picture completed, and not be judgment with your parents.
And I'll go back, is they only had the four dimensions of being a human, and now we have the five. The social aspect, the social media aspect, which makes it really, really difficult and confusing. So we talked about the emotional dimension. Let's go to the next dimension, which is the physical dimension, which is our health, physical activity, bodily functions, the things that we relate really with the world. We hear, we see, we touch, we taste, the physical dimension of our reality. So those are other things that are developed. So what I like to look at versus what I don't like to look at, mm-hmm. what I like from a standpoint of what I eat, part of it may be the chemistry that I was born with, but part of it may also be what I learned to like and accept.
Yeah.
So that's another dimension. What's the next dimension? The mental dimension, our cognitive abilities, decision-making, strategies, learning and ability to learn, all of that, that's one of the other dimensions, right? The mental dimension, and that's a very important aspect of who we are. A physical thing, a thoughtful thing, a spiritual thing, an emotional thing, and a social creature. The next one is the social dimension. Relationships, social skills, community involvement. I'll add into that social media, where we're connected to our friend chat group, you know, a group of 6, 7, 8 people that we're constantly throughout the day saying, hey, how are things going? Great. How did that work out with your girlfriend? How did that work out with your boyfriend? What's going on with your family? Oh, can you believe that new album hit? You know, it's that social aspect outside ourselves. We're looking for acceptance, and we're also getting feedback on what others think of us. Later on in the show, we'll talk about that, but I think we're going to bring it up right now, is that there's a lot of false expectations set. Many people say that everyone smiles for a picture, they pose, they're doing something fun, and that's what they post in social media. So everybody gives the presentation that things are great, even despite how their life might really be. We start focusing on being accepted and accepting others through social media. We connect to others immediately through social media. Instead of connecting to those people through the mystery of the universe and through our soul, we're doing it through a soulless electronic means. We are connecting to somebody with a soul through this. But have you ever, they talked about people talking to each other versus texting. And I just saw this study yesterday. They mm-hmm. said when people talked with each other, mm-hmm. they were much happier than when they texted with each other. They said that this had to do with like 13-year-old girls talking to their mother. If they talked to their mother for a half an hour a day on their phone, they would actually get chemicals released that made them happy. Whereas if they just texted back and forth with their mother, mm-hmm. they would have the communication, but they wouldn't have that same happiness. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about the endorphins and other things that is released. Lower anxiety, raise pleasure by having physical interaction. By having the electronic interaction, it wasn't there. It's a great study.
Yeah. But also in other way is what kind of the culture that people have in this, because if you go to how you I feel happy or not happy with this, is how many lie I have in my post. How many people say good or put the heart or share. So you measure your successful by some kind of the tool that the group need to say lie, because if I post in something you don't like what I post, I feel that you don't like right. me. So this is the dimension that we try to explain in this show.
There's also studies, many studies, that show the more time spent on social media, the more depressed the person is. And this is generally speaking, not specific for everyone. And this is the hardest thing. So you have people go, well, I'm on it all the time and I'm really happy. Yes, you are. But generally speaking, the majority of the people, the more time they spend, the lower they report self-happiness. And part of it has to do with that is maybe they're spending so much time on social media because they're not having social interactions in person, because they're not taking the time to self-reflect, to be connected spiritually with who they are, why they are, and what they are.
Yes.
And when we come back, we're going to talk more about resilience in the five dimensions on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
Welcome back to what? To what?
90 Day.
90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
What's really nice about us being together here on the show and not texting each other, we get to interact.
Yeah.
So social interaction, right? Mental, physical, emotional interaction, in a way, a sense, spiritual.
Mm-hmm. But we using the social media to share.
And
to
using
honor.
Social media. So
that's the positive part.
Yes, yeah. We hope you get, we can convey to you our emotion and happiness by doing this. The resilience, let's get into resilience. So what is resilience of spiritual? And let's have an example here. That when you have faith, when you have spiritual faith, even though you have adversity. So let's look at examples of spiritual resilience. What would be an example of spiritual resilience? That something's you're going through a tough time in your life. Maybe somebody's sick. Maybe someone's ill. Maybe you're going through a bad breakup. Mm-hmm. And spiritual resilience is you don't lose your faith.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe you even pray more. You meditate more. You self-reflect more. You connect with nature more. That resilience, these are things that maybe we grow up that way, is that we were taught that in the face of adversity, spend more time spiritually connecting with the universe, with God, with nature,
mm-hmm.
self-reflecting.
And also for when COVID, we can see how many people become resilient. So people start to looking for some way to keep going moving based upon the everybody's locked up and home with some virus. Yeah?
So maybe they start learning about something new. And mm-hmm. if it talk about spiritual resilience, it would be, how do I keep the faith that the whole world is not going under by this virus that's mm-hmm. devastating?
Yeah.
So that would be one. Let's continue on with that. So some things you can do to develop when you're being spiritual or practicing mindfulness and meditation can significantly enhance spiritual awareness and personal insight. We do have a chapter in our book called Science of the Mind, and in there we discuss how engaging in self-reflection and introspection can transform thoughts and emotions into higher states of consciousness and being. Part of that is, in 90 Day Soulmate, when we talk about the science of the mind, is by doing this introspection, by figuring out who you are and what you want, you're actually creating this positive force for automatic change. You know, you can say it is the law of attraction, whatever you want to call it. It could be this external law of attraction, or it could be how we're born. It could be how the universe works with us, just because that's how it is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the belief is really a strong tool.
Belief is a strong tool.
So if you believe, then don't believe. It is one belief.
There was the other thing I sent you.
Yeah.
It was really cool. It was a voice, computer-generated voice, that said something. And you would listen to it, and you'd have no idea what it said. Then they would actually say what was said. The computer would say it in a way that you could hear it. They would then play the original audio, and you would automatically hear what it said, even though it was distorted. And it blew my mind. I thought they were tricking me by the second time when they played it, actually making it intelligent.
Uh-huh.
So then I went back to it again, and I'm like, oh, now I can't stop hearing it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was amazing.
It's amazing how you...
You recognize what you expect.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be shown time and time again, from focusing on something, from having a vision board, from being told something, learning something in a book. If you learn something in a book, you then recognize it in real life. So if you want to recognize better quality of relationships, if you want to recognize love, if you want to recognize... better relationship with your children, read about it, learn about it, and you'll recognize those times and places where you can use maybe new interactions and new behaviors to connect better with your partner, your children, your friends.
It's your own interpretation of the situation, because unique situation, but three or four people interpret it a different way. It depends of the software that you have in your mind.
And many people can't interpret situations that they've never experienced or learned about before.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that again. You cannot interpret a situation that you know nothing about. You try to use everything in your mind that you already know to figure out the situation. But if you've never experienced it, if you've never read about it, if you've never learned about it, you can't even begin to grasp the situation.
And also depend on the software that you have. Maybe you don't see situation, you see problem. Or you see opportunity.
Some people immediately will see, oh, this is what we need to do to fix it. No problem. No worry. And others are like, I don't know what to do.
And they cry and throw out stuff.
Terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about that. Let's continue on with this. We talked about spiritual resilience. Let's talk about emotional. Recovery from setbacks. Let's look at some examples of emotional resilience. I think there's one I'll talk about in a minute here. So, an example, emotional resilience is often demonstrated by individuals who effectively utilize emotional intelligence skills to navigate through life's challenges. So, we've done a show called Impact of Emotions on Health and Well-Being, and it does provide a detailed analysis on how to manage emotions effectively and how that contributes to better mental and physical health. Let's go back to a situation. Person I know that I grew up with, after 30 years of marriage, his wife cheats on him.
Mm-hmm. Ding.
Ding, there you go.
So, what happened?
So it's how do you emotionally handle that? Now, you're devastated, and you go through this series of recovery, but it's if you don't, if you've never had that situation, if you've never read about it, if you're not reading books on...
Emotional
intelligence.
Yeah.
You can just lose it. And I've been through breakups like that where you just lose it and you don't know what to do and you're so frustrated. And you can go through that. Other people can go, okay, I know what to do. I know how to handle it. You know, I am upset. But you can react in a multitude of ways. And maybe one of the most emotionally intelligent thing to do is to be hurt, to cry, to go to a therapist, to talk.
Yeah.
And maybe one of the worst things to do is not go to work, stay home, and just
be depressed.
Think about it and be depressed and eat and not sleep. And that you're not going to think through how to deal with it if you've never handled it before. Therapy, a therapist is always helpful in this type of situation.
Yeah.
So sometimes the resilience emotional can be helped by a friend, a relative,
yeah,
a therapist.
And the one important stuff is when you have this kind of emotion, and I guess that we talk later about the parenting and adult and child.
Yes.
But emotional is more related to child, because when you are this kind of emotion, sometimes your child is coming through.
Yes.
And then you need to have the capacity to protect yourself and put the adult in the top and say, what is the adult decision that you need to make when you feel sad or when you feel angry or when you feel also excited, because sometimes over happy can be other
another problem. Sure.
So all strain of the emotion can resilient can be put your adult in the top.
Or your adult. And we'll talk about adult, child, and parent in a little bit. The interesting thing is how you said that is that emotions are child's or children. That we talked about in one of our shows, how you have a stimulus and a response, and what the difference between us and animals is that we have a thought before the response. The bigger the thought, the more thoughtful it is, the more we're using emotional intelligence, the more we're using our adult personalities to deal with it, the less we're acting like a child. A child that doesn't have the amount of thought available, because they don't have the experience, they don't have the knowledge, they don't have anything but almost raw emotion as a young child, they move right into emotion quickly.
Yeah.
And that as we become an adult, we may still feel the same stimulus,
mm-hmm,
but our response is varied based upon our experience and ability to think about the emotion intelligently.
Mm-hmm.
Try to get a better outcome. So we talked about the impact of that already. So here's physical now. Physical resilience, recovery from illness, injury, maintaining health under stress. One of the examples we give is how to do it is engage in regular physical exercise. It will not only enhance bodily health, but also improves mental and emotional stability. By getting that oxygen in you, by getting that blood flowing, by getting blood pumping and getting stronger. There's also been signs, and they showed this, they showed different school children who did athletics versus didn't as groups. And the ones that did group athletics actually performed better in class also. That a physical activity being part of what you do does help enhance your mental ability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Blood flow, strength, and also if it can help you with your confidence a little bit, confidence also helps you in making better decisions, as long as you're not overconfident.
Yes.
As long as you're not overconfident.
Or extreme, again, is the good.
It is. Yeah, not the extreme. So impact on health, on emotions. So again, physical health helps your emotions and your emotional moderating of your emotions through your health. Next one is mental resilience, overcoming challenges through problem solving. Mental flexibility is that by having the ability to solve problems by reading more books, like we just talked about before. I'll go back to that, is by reading books, taking courses, going on YouTube, learning more about whatever it is you're trying to solve. Maybe it's you've got home problems, or you've got water problems, you've got bug problems, and if you don't have information, go get the information, and that helps you become more resilient mentally in solving that.
Yeah.
And next time it comes across, great. There's like all these things that we learn, and sometimes it just takes time. You know, can you change the battery on your car? Can you change the oil? How about lights? Do I need to run wires in the house and do electrical circuits? These are things that over a lifetime, maybe you learn this. But if you never learned it, you may be in a situation where you're stuck somewhere, your battery's dead, you don't know what to do, and you call a service person with a tow truck, and they said, I'll be there in 3 hours. And you're there with your family, and you don't know what to do. That you can either gain experience by living the experience a few times and gaining the experience, maybe reading about the experience, going on YouTube, Googling, that you look at the, for me, mm-hmm. and this can be done at work too, is you look at the risks of the things that might happen. And you go, this might happen and it's going to be really bad if it does. You know what? I'm going to learn about it and learn what the proper response is and maybe have an SOP for that response in our documented library. So if this thing does happen, I have mental resilience because I've already thought about it ahead of time. So resilience mentally is sometimes thinking about something ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm actually supporting my wife in what she does auditing companies.
He copied my SOP.
I did. So continuous cognitive challenges and learning new life skills can help maintain and improve mental capacity and flexibility. And then we come to social resilience, maintaining relationships under stress, community support. Part of this has to do with the emotional resilience, but social resilience is that outreach to others. Building and maintaining strong social networks are crucial for psychological resilience as they provide support and a sense of belonging. So we have something in our book called Making the List, and we did a show called Making the List and Systems Theory. We explored how social interactions and relationships impact overall psychological health and social functioning. We also talk about preferences. How's your preferred way of connecting with other people? What do you not like? What do you like? What do you want to do in the future? And learning what your preferred methods are and then doing more of that to make those social interactions more beneficial for you and others.
Yeah.
Growth opportunities. Let's just do a review here. Reflect on your programming. Enhance the resilience in each of those five dimensions. Seek out ways to develop your strengths. That's one thing. Remember that sometimes it's better to build strengths than try to fix weaknesses. In a way. Like, you know, somebody who's a really good catcher in baseball can become even a better catcher, but maybe they'll never be a good pitcher. And go, oh, I'm not a good pitcher, so I'm going to work on that. And then you don't make the baseball team because what you're good at, you didn't focus on. So one of the points is that we need to know where we should be focusing our energies.
It's typical the human being be focused on the missing part versus the part that you have.
Exactly. That's true. And we come back, we're going to talk about the three-legged balance, a couple of other things that have to do with the social dimension, and then we're going to give you three steps to how to improve your resilience in these five areas.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions.
Welcome back to 90 Days Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about resilience, how to develop it, how to grow it, what it is in the five dimensions of being human. Spiritual, emotional, mental, physical, and social aspects of being human. We're going to talk about the three-legged balance, which is the balance of child, adult, and parent, which is within each of us, in each person. This is not the traditional child, adult, parent that you see in some teaching. We've changed this around a little bit. Conceptually, there's some similarities, but what I'm going to say is that we want all three pieces in us. And why do we want all three pieces in us? Is that we believe that the child is learning, a learning entity. I'll go back up on screen here. Is the learning entity. They're curious. They're emotionally frail, but they're programmable. And this is where the development of the five dimensions can occur. They're also reactive, not given direction. The adult is the logical, emotionally intelligent, even-handed, resilient, objective, and observant part of us. And the parent is the one who's a little bit more subjective. They're teaching, they're telling, they're guiding, they have strong opinions. And this is the stuff that motivates us for growth. They're self-directed, subjective, and most of all, they're protective. So how this works is that we see the child within us, which is what we've been programmed for. That we see that as the adult being the observant person that we are. When we see that there's a gap missing, the protective parent steps in and says, how do I stop that gap? And then that goes back in this iterative process of now teaching the child what it needs to know so it reduces danger.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at those five dimensions and you look at us as the child, adult, and parent, once again, child is programmable, the adult is observant, and the parent is directive, teacher, and protective, and wants to teach the child things that will make it safer for the child. So we want to look at ourselves being all three of those. A lot of people say you don't want to be a child, you want to be an adult, you don't want to be a parent. There's communication classes where they talk about the parent is always disciplining the child, and the child's always the victim. But and so they're both negative, and then the adult's the only positive thing.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to say there's positive everything. The child who is emotional and reactive gives us an indication of the areas in our lives that we may want to have improvement.
It also depends on the context, because if you are in one party when everybody play like the glasses and flipping glasses,
mm-hmm.
you don't want to be adult there.
You want to play.
You want to play. You want to be a child. Play. So this is depends on the context. But if you want to make a decision for some investment, finance stuff, you don't want to be child.
I want the fun.
Or parent for protect. Yeah. You want to be adult to do the decision. So it depends how the content you are.
Yeah, adult being objective and parent being protective
mm-hmm.
and teaching and trying to correct the child to become a better adult.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So, and yourself.
And it's all yourself. It's all yourself.
So not thinking the child is a one child.
We're not talking about interacting with other people at this point in time. That's a whole different program.
Yeah, it's yourself.
So let's see where else we got here. We have... Oh, I like this. So... this was my biggest fear when putting together this program. And what I mean by fear, it's not really a fear. It's more of something that we recognize as the reason we brought social into our dimensions of being human. Because of the impact of social media and modern society on our spiritual connections, that is social media supplanting, taking the place of spirituality. Has social media become our higher power? We reflect back on how others see us, not on how our higher power sees us. Connecting with others, is it a spiritual and soulful reflection, or is it social media and false projection? Spiritual and soulful reflection is how we want and how we suggest that we connect with others is in the spiritual realm, that we don't think of a communication through an iPhone and a text as being a real connection. It's a connection, and sometimes if you need to get some communication back and forth. But that soulful connection, again, when two people talk, when that mother and daughter got on the phone and spoke or spoke in person, completely different benefit to each than there was when they were texting back and forth. The spiritual connection, when you put the phone down, I don't know if anyone who's seen studies about children that had behavioral problems, and they basically, the parents have taken them off social media, taken their electronics away, and within a few weeks, they're interacting, they're happy, they're playing. It's an incredible disservice that we've done to ourselves by having all this beneficial technology, by having all this information available. As we said before, have psychologists, I'm questioning this, have psychologists made us more depressed? Here are all the things that you should be doing, and you're falling short. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And again, when we had less information, and, you know, we got up, we went to school, after school we did some sports, we were in band, whatever. We had no phones, so we went out and we played with our friends, we did hide and go seek, we did stuff. We seemed very similar.
Yeah.
And we seemed happy. And today I hear more and more people unhappy. The more we know, the more ability to be happy, the less happy we are, because we have this huge ability to be happy. We see people on social media smiling. We see them on vacation. We see them in their new car. We see them projecting themselves falsely. And then we don't live up to what we think others are living up to, and we don't feel as happy. And generally speaking, this is true. I'm not saying you feel this way, but generally speaking.
Yeah, no, so it's a little contradiction, because we say you need to learn, you need to have more information to do this stuff, but also at the same time, depend how you, I guess, for this information society, I study, you know, engineering information, I guess the best ability that you need to have is how you filter and interpret the good information. It's in your hand.
Yep.
Because in the social media, when any kind of information start to grow up, the fake information. And the capacity for you to recognize and filter and not be overwhelmed for this is the best skill that this new society need to have, because you can't stop this. This is a big, also with the AI right now, it's a big challenge. So The important is how we create, like that we call model data, like what is you figure out, what is the good information, and what kind of decision you make.
So what's good versus what's not good is very difficult. And even things like, there are many memes out there, and I'm sure you all know about this, is like, they have 50% truth. Like, this person earns $85 million a year, and they do this, that's not fair, da-da-da-da-da. And then it turns out they don't, they only earn $4 million a year, which is still huge. But by exaggerating what they earn to make their point, they're doing a few things. And it's no matter what, whether it's political, whether it's economic, whether it's social, whether it's
healthy,
whether it's behavioral, like this person did this. One, exaggerated. One, it can be a complete lie. But once people get into it,
yeah.
You know, I've been filtering out like these news rags that pop up on my YouTube feed that just keep promoting violent stories, and I'm like, I don't want to go, oh, what's this about? You know, I was going to repeat one, but I'm not going to repeat it. And I look at it, and I'm like, I don't. This is terrible.
But I don't have these feeding in my.
You don't? Google, because no. I keep seeking them. I search them out.
No, I don't. Oops, sorry.
Okay, so how about this? The impact of information overload. We're talking about overload. The effects of excess information on self-perception and development. Do we spend the time doing self-observation? When there's all this other information out there, are we spending so much time in social media that we're not sitting back and looking about how we are, who we are, why are we here? Selfies versus self-reflection. Are we busy taking selfies or looking at other people's selfies rather than reflecting on us and our own life and where we should be developing? How about objective versus subjective observation? And, as we said before, have psychologists done harm?
Mm-hmm.
Having studied psychology, I believe in some areas, sure. And I think in other areas, we've learned a lot. And it all depends on how it's used. But I think we've got to recognize how much better off maybe we are than we used to be, and stop valuing ourselves on how great it should be, because we're always comparing ourselves to an unrealistic goal, or we're comparing ourselves to stuff in social media, which is fake.
Yeah.
And really, how are we? And when it comes down to it, get outside, walk around, smell the roses, and you're like, wow, life is pretty good. I don't have to judge my life versus someone else. Or look the opposite way. Judge your life versus somebody in a country where the economy is tough, where there aren't jobs, where there's not freedom to do what you need to do. And I know we're seeing all around the world, and it's different in every country. But I think part of the things we need to value is just our social interaction. And when I say social, I don't mean social media interaction. Our interaction with the people that we love, yeah. Family, friends. You agree?
Yes.
So our tips for moving forward using neuroplasticity, which still exists even at our age, you can still grow your brains a lot. Learn new material, which then allows you to recognize more new material. The more you learn, the more you recognize, the more you're able to learn, and you can focus. We're going to be biased anyway. Why don't we become biased in a way that's positive? Bias ourselves for learning new positive things. Mm-hmm. Instead of focusing on the bad, focus on the good. Why not? Therapy and coaching, that's another thing to help move forward. Diet and exercise, you know, keep a good diet and exercise. Spiritual and social supportive groups, being involved socially is always a positive thing. These are things that help. Developing resilience. And these are all things that will develop resilience. What is it? It's the ability to recover quickly from difficulties. Strengthen your emotional, physical, and mental capacities to handle stress and adversity. Keep in mind self-reflected spiritual guidance and social connection. Again, you know what I threw in there? Self-reflected spiritual guidance. Please step away. Step away from the computer. Step away from the phone.
Use him for learn, but not be addictive with spend time.
Spend some time with yourself.
Yeah.
You're pretty smart. You know stuff. You know stuff innately as well that you may not be, you're scared to actually access. Learn about yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Reflect. What else we got here? Oh, here we are. The final things. Here are our three takeaways. End of show takeaways. You ready? Number one. Build strong relationships. Cultivate supportive relationships with family, friends, colleagues to provide emotional support and resources needed during challenging times. Prioritize time with loved ones. Join groups with similar interests. Offer help to strengthen connection. Live in person on phone, not through chat groups, not through recorded video, but connect with people live. You'll feel a lot better. What's next? Oh, a growth mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Adopt a growth mindset by seeing challenges as opportunities to learn and grow. Emphasize the belief that abilities and intelligence can be developed through dedication and hard work. Set realistic and challenging goals, both of those. Learn from setbacks, apply lessons, celebrate progress and small victories. Oh my gosh, that was last week. We talked about that. That when you celebrate a small victory, do you remember what we said?
Yeah.
Is you train your brain to crave the endorphins and the chemicals when you so when you celebrate a small victory, you've now trained your brain to look for things that release pleasure chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
That if you don't celebrate small victories, you're telling your brain that all this hard work yields nothing. But by celebrating small victories, you are programming your brain, like Pavlov's dogs, to salivate at the sight of the work you're doing to improve your situation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm excited about that. Are you?
Yes.
And then number three, enhance problem-solving skills. Improve your problem-solving skills helps to manage and reduce the impact of stress by developing effective strategies to tackle objectives. Break down problems into manageable parts. Engage in activities that challenge problem solving. Seek advice for complex issues. Seek advice for complex issues. Those are the three things that we suggest to help with resilience. again, I want to go back to, I think today I was profoundly impacted by when you learn something, it gives you the ability to see something. And once you see something, you can observe it, you can then rationalize it, you can then know how to deal with it, and it helps you grow in the direction you want.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's almost opening a new door in your brain.
It does. Mm-hmm. With that, I'd like to thank you for listening to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
We'll see you next week.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.